So we are continuing with our theme, the Jesus-shaped God, this morning. And in that, we are through Bible readings and through the Sunday talks, we're exploring different aspects of God that we see revealed in Jesus. And the theme for the readings this week, and I hope you enjoyed the readings if you've been following them, the theme for this week was forgiveness. Forgiveness. We're looking at the forgiving God. And one of the readings that we're going to hear in just a moment from Mick tells the story of what happened when Jesus went to a dinner party at the home of a tax collector. Tax collector's name was Matthew, and he just happened also to be someone that Jesus had called to follow him. And in the reading, we kind of pick up that what Jesus did wasn't really very popular with many people. So before Mick reads the video, reads the passage to us, we're going to watch a short video, which I've just put together a series of scenes from the TV series The Chosen. Really, my hope is that from this, we can just pick up a little bit about how Matthew would have been regarded and just how offensive what Jesus did really was. So we're going to watch the video clip, and then straight away, Mick will read the passage to us before coming back to me. Thank you, Tim.
Matthew,
keep your voice down.
Pardon me, Mr. Publicanus. It's me that don't want to be seen with you, remember?
It's Publicanus.
I like it the other way.
Tax man.
If any citizen asks about my cargo, I must tell the truth. It's the biggest pile of dung in all Capernaum.
This is your stop.
Wait, this is the far side of the market.
Get out.
No.
No?
This is the job. You drive so I don't walk to the market.
It's too crowded. Out!
I'll pay you double.
Money won't buy the stink of me and my family if I am seen with you. Out!
Tax collector!
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
As Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent.
Thanks, Mick. Forgiveness and acceptance are things that we all crave. A really good friend of mine and a friend to many of us, member of River Church, Rob Haywood, wrote a song way back in 1985 that says this: I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm loved by the true and living God. That song has gone all around the world. It's on albums, it's been sung at conferences. I even found it in a school hymn book a few years ago. And there's a reason why that happens to songs. Well, a couple of reasons, really. Sometimes they just have really catchy tunes, but very often it's because they resonate with something deep within us. And I think that's really true of Rob's song. Forgiveness is at the heart of the good news that Jesus brought to us. We really can be forgiven. And when we do something wrong, it's something we really hope for from others. And yet it can also be, I don't think it's just me, the single most difficult thing for us to actually do. So I want to spend really just a few minutes thinking about that, about why that might be. And then the other part of this this morning is for us to spend a bit of time through a bit of a guided activity reflecting on how that might speak to us personally. And out of all of this, my prayer is that all of us go away from this morning a little bit freer, embracing the true freedom for which Galatians tells us Christ has set us free. But first of all, I want to remind us of some words from 1 Corinthians 13, which we didn't read this week, but I think there's a bit right in the center of this passage, which is core for our understanding about forgiveness. I'm sure most of us know this passage. It's about love, written by the Apostle Paul. And in the middle, it says this: love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Boom. No record of wrongs. Full stop. And if we're honest, if I'm honest, I want Paul to put a comma after that. And for him to, instead of just saying love keeps no record of wrongs, I want there to be a comma so it says love keeps no record of wrongs, except, of course, about people who dot, 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 have hurt us deeply, have hurt others we love deeply, have hurt vulnerable people, have hurt children, have hurt old people. I don't know what the categories would be for you. For me, if someone hurts someone I love, my response is more that I want to hurt them badly. And of course, this verse isn't talking about literally writing down a record in a notebook. Hopefully no one would do that, although it would cover that as well. But it's talking more about the things that we have written on our hearts, in our emotional memories, what we leave written in the place that, according to Proverbs 4:23, is where all life proceeds from. And this kind of love, the kind of love that Jesus showed, is unreasonable. And yet it is the sort of love that Jesus demonstrated on the occasions like the one we've just read. The people at Matthew's dinner party weren't what were considered to be nice people. I asked Mick to read from that particular translation, New Living, because it has got that word in the middle of it where they're called scum. They were traitors, maybe thieves, people who'd sold their souls, regarded as unspiritual, together because no one else would have them. And here's the question I have to ask myself. In the face-off that ensued with Jesus on one side and the so-called pious keepers of religious law on the other side, which side would I have found myself on? And which side would you have been on? Let's imagine a wonderful God-given imagination, just for a moment, that same dinner party being thrown in Marlow, populated by, I don't know, benefit frauds, tax frauds, violent gang members, paedophiles, racists, or perhaps just the person who hurt and offended us yesterday, or last week, or last year, or 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But love keeps no record of wrongs. This season of talks is called the Jesus-shaped God because we really do believe that Jesus showed us what God is like, not just a part of God, but what God is like. Jesus forgave. He pronounced God's forgiveness. We read about it many times this week. He demonstrated God's forgiveness to those that society and religion had abandoned. And ultimately, on the cross, suffering through no fault of his own, he uttered those heart-wrenching words, challenging words, "Father, forgive them." And this is the love of God, and this is the forgiveness of God. Our tendency is to hold on to offense. But there is an amazing truth that forgiveness doesn't just free those we forgive. It actually frees us as well. Let me just tell you a couple of stories just to illustrate it. A few years ago now, as part of a 3-day leadership development program I was helping to lead through for a business, I was doing some one-to-one coaching with a young lady. She was very talented, she was very successful, but with all of her success, with all of her confidence in many ways, I just sensed that there was something holding her back. And even though it was a business situation, I did feel that God gave me a prophetic word for her, and I didn't preface it with "thus saith the Lord," but I just said to her right at the end of the session, "You know, you don't need the little girl." And she was a bit taken aback, understandably. And I said, "Oh, I hope I haven't offended you." She said, no, I'll go away and think about that. And the next morning, she came into the session and I could tell at once that something had happened. Just her whole countenance was different. And later in the day, she told me the story. She'd gone back to her room that previous evening and she'd thought about the words I'd said to her, and she knew there was something. And then she remembered that when she was 9 years old, something had happened to her where two friends that she had trusted, and it's a long story around it, but basically two friends that she had trusted had hurt her badly and had rejected her, and that had really wounded her. And she realized that even though it was just a childhood story, it actually had left a wound in her that had lasted. So bless her, she actually took some action. That night, she'd stayed in touch with those people. They'd been in a wider circle of friends, and she actually rang them both and said, am I imagining this? Did this happen? And they both said, yes, it happened. Yes, we've been ashamed about it. We were so ashamed about it afterwards. We actually took a vow, even as young children, that we would never talk about it again. Will you forgive us? And she was able to forgive them. And in that, she said she found a new freedom. And actually, as I pointed out to her, she also set those other people free as well. Another story, a bit more recent. Just the other week, I was talking to a very old friend, someone who's a true man of God. He served faithfully his family and his church over decades, really. He's a man of prayer. He's a faithful friend to many. But just recently, he told me, the Lord had brought to mind the fact that he was actually holding on to a resentment for something that had been done, an action, a wrong that had happened over 30 years ago, I think. Now, the mark and the caliber of this man is that he actually decided to take action and contact the person concerned and say that he didn't want there to be unforgiveness in his heart and he wanted to sort it out. And as he told me, he talked about the kind of relief in that. It's just one more story of grace and freedom, and it encouraged and it challenged me to think about, is there anything I'm holding on to? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Here's the reality. I don't know how to have no record of wrongs without God's help. Without him showing his presence in me, in us, without his image showing through us. And I'm really aware, really, really aware that this stuff is relatively easy to talk about. And I don't want to be flippant. I know it's easy to talk about and it's really, really tough to do. I know it's quite possible that some of you listening to this now, live or perhaps later, might have very deep-seated issues, serious things that have happened, memories of things done that seem impossible and unreasonable to forgive. And all we can do is come back to that dinner party table at Matthew's house. All we can do is bring those people and those situations to Jesus. And of course, sadly, like the Pharisees in the story, it's all too easy for me to picture myself as the righteous one, as the one who hasn't done stuff as bad as somebody else. But the reality is we all need that forgiveness and acceptance of Jesus. And Jesus seemed really clear that as we acknowledge that, then our love for him grows even stronger as we acknowledge that we all need the great physician. For our deeds, yeah, maybe even just our attitudes. So now I'm going to stop and we're going to create some space for God to talk to us. And this is where you need to grab your piece of paper and pen, if you have it. And if you have got it, I just assume if it's A4, fold it in half, whatever side it is, or perhaps grab two bits of paper. I've got an A4 piece of paper, and I'm just dividing it into two. And I'm going to tell you the first part of this activity, and then Kerry is going to play. I encourage you, it might be helpful to switch your cameras off while she's playing, while you prayerfully consider what I'm going to ask you to do. Then I'll come back in and tell you part two. So here's part one on the first part of my piece of paper. I've just drawn, appreciate the wonderful work of art here, I've drawn a table. And at the center of the table, I've put Jesus. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing in just a moment. And my question is simply this: who else do we need to have sitting at that table? Who else do we need to allow to be at that table, despite what may have happened in the past, despite how they may have hurt us, despite wrongs done to us? Who else needs to be sat at that table? And in writing those names down, and I encourage you to do that, we are letting them sit at the table and we're saying, Jesus, I want to let go of my unforgiveness. I don't want to sit over there with the Pharisees pointing the finger. And I want to show acceptance. So Kerry's going to play. I encourage you to draw your table, put Jesus at the table. Who else needs to be at that table? Thank you, Kerry. And secondly, a second piece of paper or the other half of your piece of paper. Again, draw a table. Again, write Jesus seated at the table. And then I'd like you to write your own name. And is there anything we need to bring to Jesus today? Is there anything we need to hear him say back to us in terms of reassurance of his forgiveness? Is there anything we've not brought to him before that we want to say, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that your love keeps no record of wrongs. And maybe in doing that, we're also saying, I'm going to choose to forgive myself. So Kerry's just going to play for a couple more minutes while we do that. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you, Kerry, and thank you, everyone. And if you did turn your camera off, it might be good to turn it back on again if you feel able to do that. I hope you found that helpful. If this morning has raised anything in you that you know it would be good to pray with someone else about, I just encourage you to do that. Take courage and do that. If you're watching this on the recording and all of this is a bit new and strange to you, but you would like some assistance in working through any issue related to this, please do contact us. Please do contact the church. Please do email us, and we'd love to help you with that. And if it has raised anything for you that, like my friend, you know, actually there's some things you need to sort out sensitively in a non-condemning way, then I just again encourage you to take courage and pray about how best to do that, but not to let these things carry on and fester in you. Find a new freedom. So we have our pieces of paper, and in just a few minutes, we're going to be going into a time where we share bread and wine together. We remember all that Jesus did for us on the cross. We remember again the forgiveness that he has extended to us. And along with taking the wine, along with eating the bread, I just want to encourage you as well, if you have written things down, to remember love keeps no record of wrongs. And as part of a kind of a prophetic action about what you want to be true, what you are making a decision about in your heart, I just want to encourage you to, during communion, tear up that paper or put it through a shredder or whatever works for you, knowing that Jesus keeps no record of wrongs.